بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم، أما بعد. الحمد لله. Tonight is the 25th of February in the year 2018. And inshallah, to now spend a few sessions taking a glimpse into the station of our exalted and beloved messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The following is a most informative report about the inner state of our beloved messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In Al-Istiyab, Hafiz ibn Hajar Asqalani in Al-Isaba 4-103 states, his chain is strong. Ibn Abi Kathir relates that Abu Sahm radiyallahu, he said, a woman passed by me, i.e. in the lane, and I brushed against her, i.e. being overcome with passion. However, I then immediately took my hand away out of the fear of Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The next day, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was accepting pledges of allegiance from the people. Thus I too went to him for the same purpose. He sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, upon seeing me, he said, Alasta bisahibil jazbati bilams. Are you not the companion who touched yesterday? I replied, Bala, wa inni la'audu ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Fabayani. Indeed, O Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, but I will never do it again. He then took the pledge of allegiance from me. So let's look at this blessed report. So basically, this companion, obviously, he's just probably embraced Islam. He commits a sin, and basically, he touches what he's not supposed to touch from the opposite gender. But he immediately takes his hand away. The next day, when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam accepting the pledge of allegiance, look how beautifully he talked to that sahaba. Alasta bisahibil jazbati bilams. Are you not the companion who touched yesterday? So the sahaba goes, Bala, certainly. Wa inni la a'udu ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Indeed, O Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, but I will never do it again. Fabayani. He then took the pledge of allegiance from me. So this is the report. So now, why did the Prophet use those words? He could have clearly said, you touched a prohibited woman. But he used words that the people who were in the gathering could have took 100 ways. Are you not the companion who touched yesterday? So Mawlana Ashraf Ali Thanwi, rahmatullah alayh, in his work, A Sufi Study of Hadith, page 235 of the English translation, he states, if they, i.e. the spiritual masters, tell off the student in the presence of others, they do so in vague terms, so that the student may not be publicly embarrassed. i.e. for note that our beloved messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did not say anything about a woman. So here, Shaykh Ashraf Ali Thanawi rahmatullah alayh, he said this is what the shuyukh do. When they note something wrong in their students, in the presence of others, they reprimand them in vague terms. So people don't really know that they've done something wrong. They're using words that nobody else understands, or very few. And this is part of their tariqah. This is part of the way that they help their students. It is also important to note that the woman had not brought the matter to our beloved messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, or was simply unaware of the matter. Otherwise, of course, the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would have taken a different course of action. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. So obviously the woman didn't bring it to the attention of the Prophet. So this was merely from revelation. Now this shows the inner state of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. When people approached him, he could see them. What they woke to. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said in Tirmidhi, the believer sees with the light of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And what about the greatest of the believers? So this is why when going into the presence of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, a person needs to be extremely humble and realize his state. The following is also a most informative report about the awesome inner state of our beloved Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. In Ibn Majah, number 245, Sayyidina Abu Umama radiyallahu anhu relates, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam passed by Baqi al-Gharqat, i.e. the graveyard of Al-Madinah, on an intensely hot day. And he sensed that people were walking behind him, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. When he thus heard their footsteps, this weighed heavily upon him, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He thereupon sat down until all the people had passed him by. He did this to avoid the effects of pride settling on his heart, i.e. so that he may not feel any pride that people chose to walk behind him. So let's look at this very briefly. So it's recorded in Ibn Majah. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he's passing by where the graveyard is now, Jannat al-Baqi. And it was extremely hot, but he noticed there were people walking behind him. So who were these people? Obviously his companions. When he sensed this, it troubled him, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He sat down. So the people in the back, they literally walked past. He did this to avoid the effects of pride entering his heart. So, what do the scholars mention about this hadith? Maulana Ashraf Ali Thanawi Rahmatullah Ali, he said in his work, A Sufi Study of Hadith, page 282 of the English translation, it should be clear that when someone is raised to the status of a spiritual master, they must not sit back and relax. Like the novice, they should pay particular attention to rectifying their deeds and constantly fear the reversal of their condition. There is absolute goodness in this. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and then he recited Surah Al-A'raf, Surah 7, verse 99 of the Malayim Nishudan Rajim. فَلَا يَأْمَنُوا مَقْرُ اللَّهِ إِلَّا الْقَوْمُ الْخَاسِرُونَ No one feels safe from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's deep devising except the people who are amongst the lost. Subhanallah. So here, this Shaykh Rahmatullah Ali, one of the respected Hanafi Shaykhs, he said that even if a person has reached purity, he's purified his heart. And this is a very difficult thing to do, but people do reach this. We are given numbers by the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, 40 abdals, etc., etc. Even those blessed souls, they do not sit back and relax. This is a misconception. People think once you've purified your inner state, you can relax. He goes, no, that's not correct. He goes, like the novice, like the one who's just starting or treading that sublime path, they pay great attention to these things which will reverse their condition. And he goes, this is the meaning that you can extract from this hadith. Think about that. Is it possible for pride to enter the Prophet's heart? Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So obviously he's protected. Yeah, why did he sit down? Right? So he's treating it like he's, you know, at the beginning of the spiritual path. So note, this is the purity of the people who are very close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is why he states, the Quran mentions, no one feels safe from makr Allah, from the devising of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, illa al-qawmul khasirun, except the people who are lost. Meaning you can lose this spiritual state. And this is again how important it is to understand how Allah ta'ala deals with his servants. And also, there's a report, and this is with regards to the distinction between the messengers and the prophets, alayhi salatu wasalam. There are a few great differences between the sublime messengers and prophets. Our beloved messenger, he mentions, sallallahu alayhi wasalam, in an authentic hadith in Ahmad, Allah the Almighty and Glorious has sent 124,000 prophets, alayhi salatu wasalam. 313, in another report, 315 were messengers, a large number, alayhi salatu wasalam. So, this is the report. So, what is the difference between a messenger and a prophet, alayhi salatu wasalam? Firstly, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he sent the messengers, alayhi salatu wasalam, to the unbelievers, unlike the prophets. For most of them were sent to the believers. This is the first difference. So a Rasul and a Nabi, people don't even know how to make the distinction. A Rasul is always sent to the unbelievers. A Nabi is unlike that. He's usually sent to the believers. For instance, in Sahih Bukhari and Muslim, Sayyidina Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu relates that our beloved messenger, he said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the Bani Israel used to be ruled and guided by prophets. Stop in the report. Were the Bani Israel Muslims or kafirs? Straight away, the Prophet is telling you. The Bani Israel used to be ruled and guided by Anbiya, not Rasul. Anbiya alayhi salatu wa sallam. Indeed, whenever a Prophet alayhi salatu wa sallam passed away, another would take his place. There will, however, be no prophet after me, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, but there will be khalifs who will increase in number. So here the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is clearly indicating prophets were sent to the Muslims. This also exposes clearly the myth of the Shia, who say that there's imams after the prophets. The concocted belief of the Shia. The Prophet clearly said, there will be no prophet after me, but there will be khalifs who will increase in number. Where's the hadith? Bukhari and Muslim. Similarly, in the Quran, Allah the Almighty and Glorious says in Surah Al-Ma'idah, Surah 5, verse 44, أَوْذِبَ اللَّهِ مِنْ شَيْطَانُ الرَّجِيمُ إِنَّا أَنزَلْنَا التَّوْرَاةَ فِيهَا هُدًى وَنُورٌ يَحْكُمُ بِحَا النَّبِيُّونَ. Verily, we did send down the Torah, in which there is guidance and light, by which the prophets judged. Verily, we did send down the Torah, in which there is guidance and light, by which the prophets judged. So who was the Torah sent to? The Muslims. And then the prophets judged by it. With who? With the Muslims. Hafiz ibn Taymiyyah also elucidated, rahmatullah alayh, in his An-Nubuwa, the believers are commanded with what they already recognize, for in reality, he is like the scholar. It was for this reason that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, the scholars are the inheritors of the prophets, alayhi salatu wa sallam. This is in Abu Dawud, Tirmidhi, Ibn Hibban, Sahih and others. So note the inheritors of the prophets. Who predominantly uses them to learn is the Muslims. The inheritors of the prophets, not the messengers. Prophets. So note, primarily the messengers are sent to the unbelievers and the prophets are sent to the Muslims. This is the first distinction between the two. Secondly, the messengers alayhi salatu wasalam are protected from being killed. The prophets aren't. The messengers alayhi salatu wasalam are protected from being killed. The prophets aren't. Where's the proof? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in his glorious book, in Surah Al-Baqarah, Surah 2, verse 91, أَوْذِ بِاللَّهِ مِنْ شَيْطَانِ الرَّجِيمِ فَلِمَ تَقْتُلُونَ أَنْبِيَاءَ اللَّهِ مِنْ قَبْلُ إِن كُنْتُمْ مُؤْمِنِينَ. Why then did you kill the prophets alayhi salatu wasalam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala aforetime, if you were indeed believers? So the Quran clearly says to the Bani Israel, why did you kill the prophets if you are believers? They weren't protected from death, from being killed, sorry. And secondly, in Surah Al-Baqarah, Surah 2, verse 61, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَيَقْتُلُونَ النَّبِيِّينَ بِغَيْرِ الْحَقِّ, and kill the prophets without right. Alayhi salatu wasalam. They killed the prophets without right. They didn't say messengers. No, this is the precise language of the Quran. And there are similar passages. Whilst with regards to the messengers, alayhi salatu wasalam, this is not mentioned once. In addition, what would then have happened to the then much needed guidance? For it had not been conveyed. So this is important. So for instance, if a prophet, alayhi salatu wasalam, is blessed with martyrdom, the message is still there. They'll be companions. And another prophet may be sent very quickly. Alayhi salatu wasalam. A messenger has to pass the message to who? Fruitcakes, right? To unbelievers. If he is killed, the message is lost. Have you understood? The message is lost. However, if the messenger passes the message, he can then, his life can be taken. Alayhi salatu wasalam. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasalam, when he received the final revelation, Umar wept. Radiyallahu. And what did Umar, what did the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasalam, why do you weep? He goes, after perfection, what comes after perfection except imperfection, Ya Rasulullah. Meaning he knew that the Prophet is going to pass away now, because he's passed the message, sallallahu alayhi wasalam. And the third difference, the messengers alayhi salatu wasalam were generally denied. The prophets were not. The Rasul's people denied them. The prophets were not denied. Where's the proof? In Surah Al-Dhariyat, Surah 51, verse 52, Allah the Almighty and Glorious says, A'udhu billahi min shaitan rajim, قَذَلِكَ مَا أَتَى الَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِهِمْ مِنْ رَسُولٍ إِلَّا قَالُوا صَاحِرٌ أَوْ مَجْنُونٌ. Likewise, no messenger, alayhi salatu wasalam, came to those before them, but they said, a sorcerer, a madman. So what does Allah the Almighty and Glorious say? He goes, likewise, no messenger. قَذَلِكَ مَا أَتَى الَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِهِمْ مِنْ رَسُولٍ. No messenger came to those before them, but they said, a sorcerer, a madman. Similarly, in Surah Yasin, Surah 36, verse 30, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he says, A'udhu billahi min shaitan rajim, Ya hasratan ala al-ibad, ma ya'atihim min rasulin illa qanu bihi yastahzi'un. Alas for mankind, they never came to them a messenger, alayhi salatu wasalam, but they used to mock him. But for the holy prophets alayhi salatu wasalam, the majority of them did not encounter this, for they came for the believers. The believers would not mock their prophets alayhi salatu wasalam. So these are distinctions. So how many prophets? 124,000. How many were messengers? 313. So in conclusion, it goes without saying, every messenger was a prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, but not every prophet was a messenger. Every messenger automatically is a prophet, but not every Nabi is a Rasul alayhi salatu wasalam. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasalam, he said that when you send salat upon me, send it also upon my brothers, because they were also sent just like myself. The Quran says, wassalamun alal mursaleen. The Prophet added in his wording, the prophets as well. So that's why when you hear the Prophet's name, you say, alayhi salatu wassalam. You send the salat and the salam upon them. The salam is from the Quran. The salat is from the command of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And this is out of veneration for them. The scholars do not like you to use the phrase sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, except for the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Because somebody asked, can you say this to the prophets? And the scholars do not like this, even though it confirms to the command. Why? Because this seems to be unique for the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. You say alayhi salatu wa salam. So one of the errors that people make is they send salam upon the Prophet. That's an error. It's Musa alayhi salam, Isa alayhi salam. This is not correct. Isa alayhi salatu wa salam, Musa alayhi salatu wa salam. But in English, peace be upon him. Not good enough. Peace and the blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala be upon him. So this is out of veneration for the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Also, when we remember, so again, distinctions between the prophets and messengers. When we remember our beloved sallallahu alaihi wasallam, it is not just for the akhirah we benefit. We benefit in this life. In Kanzul Umal, number 41,665, or volume 15, page 421, Sayyidina Uthman ibn Abi Harb radiyallahu anhu relates that our beloved messenger said sallallahu alaihi wasallam, whoever wishes to tell someone something and then forgets it, he should send salat upon me, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Hopefully, due to him sending salat upon me, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he will remember that what he had forgotten. Subhanallah. So here the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, if you forget, and it happens, you might forget where you put your car keys, you might forget, and just your mind goes blank. You might be doing a talk, suddenly you can't even remember the report. So here the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, send salat upon me. And then he didn't say, you will remember. He said, hopefully, due to sending salat upon me, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you will remember what you forgot. Meaning it won't, doesn't necessarily mean you'll remember. But through it, inshallah, Allah ta'ala will make you remember. And this is why there's another report in Al-Mawahib Al-Dunya, page 431. Sayyidina Anas radiyallahu anhu relates that our beloved messenger said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when you forget something, send salat upon me, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wills, you will remember that thing. So this is a hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Here the scholars say that this therefore is very beneficial for the people who suffer from Alzheimer's or similar ailments, when people start losing their memory. Look how simple, right? You tell the elders, just do Durood Sharif, keep doing Durood Sharif. Why? The Prophet goes, they will help them to remember. They get to such a stage, these people, they don't have to be old, it could be young as well. They forget who even their parents are. You get scenarios where the husband, the wife doesn't even remember her husband. So what does Islam say about that? Islam says about that it's an ailment, and one of the apparent cures for this ailment is to increase in Durood Sharif. Now look how interesting. Do we do Durood Sharif for the dunya? The answer is no. Yet it's so blessed that Allah the Almighty and Glorious gives you so much benefit in dunya as well when He sent blessings upon the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. When I mentioned last night, when you send salat upon the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, an angel at the grave passes that on to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So think about that. When your name is passed on to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and your father's name, it doesn't mention how he responds. But one thing you can say is, one of the things that we can say is that Allah Ta'ala cures certain ailments through Durood Sharif. And one of them is people with this ailment. And note, look how simple and how easy is it to do Durood Sharif. The most simplest form is sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Just roll it off your tongue. Right? And the other beautiful thing is, usually people are quite advanced in age at this time. Physically they can't do anything. But they don't have to do anything physically. It's a verbal dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is also very significant to relate that according to another report, our beloved messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned that the one who does not send blessings upon hearing his name has in reality forgotten the path to paradise. Thus, with this priceless deed, one finds his bearing both in this world, but more importantly in the hereafter. SubhanAllah, think about that. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, whoever does not send blessings when he hears my name, he has forgotten his path to paradise. Look how interesting. Now it's hereafter, which is far more important. So if you combine the reports, Salat al-Nabi gives you bearing both in this world and in the hereafter. Right? And this is why, to finish, one of the companions, Ubay ibn Ka'ab radiyallahu anhu, the hadith is in Tirmidhi, is Hasan. And he goes, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, how often should I send blessings upon you? Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So the Prophet actually asked him, he goes, how often would you like to do it, Ubay? So Ubay radiyallahu anhu said, 1/3 of my spare time. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in a normal scenario, he didn't like this. He goes, do deeds which you can do for the rest of your life. Don't do deeds that you will give up. But the formula is broken here. The Prophet said, if you increase it, it's better. Look how interesting. Right? Normally, reduce it. Reduce the fasting. You can't fast all year. You get old, for example. I'll read the entire Quran, because reduce it. What's happening with the Durood Sharif? Look how interesting. Right? This is why Imam Jafar al-Sadiq said, the standard of Islam is Salat al-Nabi. The very flag of Islam is Durood Sharif. Yet, you know, people oblivious to it. So Ubay said, okay, Ya Rasulullah, I will do it half my life. The Prophet goes, increase it. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So then Ubay ibn Ka'ab radiyallahu anhu, he said, I will do it all my spare time, Ya Rasulullah. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. What did the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam say? You can't increase it more than that. Then he said, if you do this, meaning you have to do it, then Allah Ta'ala will fulfill all your needs in the dunya and in the akhirat. Another report says, he will forgive all your sins. Or Ubay. So Ubay ibn Ka'ab was doing the rule all the time. Now this doesn't mean he stopped reading the Quran, he stopped doing it. He did all his set zikrs. He would recite the Quran, offer his salat, but in his spare time, all he did was salat al Nabi. Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Ubay ibn Qaf, Sayyid al Quran, the chief of the Quran reciters. Look how interesting. He's more famously known for the recital of the Quran. And yet, he look at his love for the salat upon the Prophet. So note, salat al Nabi is priceless. It's absolutely priceless. One of the Imams, Imam Tahawi Rahmatullah, he said that every time you hear the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's name, you have to send blessings upon him. Imam Tahawi mentioned that. But the majority of scholars say no. In a gathering, to say it once is wajib. After that, it's sunnah. But this is just technicalities. You know, you don't look into the fiqh. It's just saying that once in an entire gathering, if you don't say it, you've committed a sin. But you should do it. Why? Because there's famous hadiths. The Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, he said, the greatest miser, the greatest bakhil, is he who hears my name and doesn't send blessings upon me. Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Think about that. You could be the most generous person. You could be like Uthman in giving wealth, radiyallahu. You could be like a humanitarian. You could be going out doing all these great wondrous works all over the world. Yet, Islamically, you're still a miser. In fact, you're the worst of misers. How is that possible? You're not sending blessings upon the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. You hear his name, you don't send the blessings. Look how Allah Ta'ala detests people who don't send blessings upon his beloved. And that also shows he's not bothered about your other deeds. He still calls you bakhil. But at the same time, if you are a great sinner and you send blessings upon the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, Allah Ta'ala has great love and affection for you. So many reports of that nature mention this. Right? There was a man to finish. The report is mentioned in the books on Fazail al-Durud in the time of Musa alayhi salatu wasalam. Great, great sinner. Allah Ta'ala forgave him. And the reason he was forgiven, because once he saw the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasalam's name and he sent blessings upon him once in his life from another ummah. Allah Ta'ala would have forgiven him for this. Think about that. A man from the previous ummah is forgiven for sending durud upon our beloved messenger sallallahu alayhi wasalam. So note, the status of our beloved messenger is truly immense. Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. In Surah Alam Nashrah Laka Sadrak, Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala says, وَرَفَعْنَا لَكَ ذِكْرَكَ. Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala says, have I not lifted your remembrance? وَرَفَعْنَا لَكَ ذِكْرَكَ. And the hadith mentions, when the Prophet asked about that himself, because Ya Rasul, Ya Allah, how have you raised my remembrance? And Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala says, whenever I am mentioned, you will be mentioned. Look how amazing. Whenever I am mentioned, you will be mentioned. Every time you hear the first part of the Shahada, you know that the second part has to come. If somebody says, what's the Shahada? And you say, La ilaha illallah. Would anybody accept that? Right? They will say, brother, you Muhammad Rasulullah. But he's right. He said the Shahada. Why are you insisting upon Muhammad? Because that's Allah Ta'ala's promise. When you do the azan, if somebody forgets to say, he goes, Ashhadu Allah, ilaha illallah, Ashhadu Allah, but then he forgets, he goes, stay to Hayya ala Salah, what will you say to him? Go and do the azan again, brother. What sort of an azan was that? You forgot to say, Ashhadu Anna Muhammad, even in the azan, 5 times a day, Allah Ta'ala puts it in the azan, in the shahud. Ashhadu Allah, ilaha illallah, Ashhadu Anna Muhammad, Abduhu Rasulu. And then you do the Durood Sharif. Somebody misses that out, wasting your time, brother. You make dua, Allah Ta'ala will not answer your dua unless you send blessings upon the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. One scholar said it's like an envelope without a stamp. You can write the most beautiful letter, tejekin letter, like your dua, tejekin. Guess what? There's no stamp. Return to sender. Right? So note, it's critical for us to understand that this is how high his status is. Adam alayhi salatu wasalam, when he got married to Hawa radiyallahu, what was his dowry? Durood Sharif. The hadith mentions that Allah Ta'ala says, you have to say blessings upon my beloved. Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. That was the mehr of our grandparents, imagine. Alayhi Salatu Wasalam. When Adam, Alayhi Salatu Wasalam, started speaking and he goes, oh my Lord, I saw Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's name everywhere. I saw it on the leaves of paradise. I saw it on the gates of paradise. I saw it on the arsh. I saw it here, there and everywhere. Allah Ta'ala said, it is because of him I created everything, and for his sake I will forgive you. But what's amazing, he didn't mention it's on his back. In Ibn Asakir, the seal of Adam was La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah. He didn't know that. So he's mentioning everywhere else. And Allah has actually put it on the first man's back. La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So why is that? Because he's Habibullah. Once the companions were sitting, radiallahu ta'ala anhum, and they were talking about the prophets. And if you really talk about the prophets with veneration, you actually get blown away. So one of them started saying, Adam, he was created by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because Allah spoke to him. And then another one, Sahaba radiallahu anhu, he goes, Musa. He goes, Allah talked to him directly. Kalam Allah, he gave him the Torah. Another one goes, Ibrahim. Allah took him as a Khalil, an intimate friend. As they were discussing this is in Tirmidhi. The Prophet is walking past. And he sits. And then he said, what you have said is absolutely correct. But I am duty bound to tell you that I am Habibullah. I am the beloved of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And on the day of judgment, the banner of praise will be in my hand. And in one report in Tirmidhi, the Prophet said, all the prophets will be under my banner on the day of resurrection. I am Imam of Anbiya. So the Prophet didn't want him, because he's the most humble. But he was saying, I'm duty bound to tell you this, because you're discussing the prophets. Meaning, don't forget who the Imam of the Anbiya is, who the beloved of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is. And that's the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And the fact that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wanted to be in this ummah, what does that tell you? Look at the status of the Anbiya alayhi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. You're thinking, guaranteed Jannat al-Firdaus, there's no doubt about it. Then why were they all, dying to be in this ummah? Because they knew the status of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Where in the ummah, we don't know his status. Look how strange that is. You go to any Anbiya alayhi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in paradise, inshallah, they'll come to you. And you ask him about the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they'll blow you away. Then they'll say, you're from his ummah. Look how tragic. We don't even know the most meager details of our beloved messenger. You go to people, where was he born? He goes, Makkah, right? Just guessing, right? Where did he pass away? Makkah, right? Where was he born? Inside Kaaba. You know nothing about him. Yeah, and then the ummah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, imagine. Imagine Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam hearing this from your lips. Thinking, Ya Allah, you gave them this. What about us? Right? And think about that. We've been honored. Isa alayhi salatu wasalam was honored to be in this ummah. Allah Ta'ala let him live to be in this ummah. And according to other reports, Khidr alayhi salatu wasalam and a few others. But apart from those noble exceptions, we've been honored. And it's only due to this that we will hopefully be successful on the day of judgment. We will all turn to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam on the day of judgment. And just to add this very quickly, we all know that we turn to the prophets on the day of judgment. You go to Adam first, alayhi salatu wa sallam. Then who do you go to? Nuh alayhi salatu wa sallam. Then who do you go to? Ibrahim alayhi salatu wa sallam. Then who do you go to? Musa alayhi salatu wa sallam. Then who do you go to? Isa alayhi salatu wa sallam. Then who do you go to? The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That's the order. But the scholars of the Hadith state, that's for Bachari. What does that mean? Because they don't know that the Prophet was actually telling you, come straight to me. Basically, the Bachari, those who haven't got knowledge, they will go through all that process. The ones with knowledge say, I'm going straight to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That's why he told you that. Now, when you quote that Hadith, people, they don't even bother explaining the Hadith. He goes, okay, right. So we go to Adam first. Well, why are you going to Adam alayhi salatu wasalam? You know you're going to go, he's going to tell you to go to Nuh alayhi salatu wasalam. Then you know he's going to tell you to. Well, that's the whole point, because you're in this ummah. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasalam wanted to give you that gift. He goes, come to me. But out of love for his brothers and fathers, he didn't say that. He left it to you to work it out. He goes, use your intelligence. Guess what? People will be going in, imagine. And don't forget how far they're going to be. You get this impression what they're going to be. 10 yards, Adam alayhi salam, then a mile down, it's probably going to be hundreds, if not thousands of miles. They're going to be away from each other. Look at the awesome trek you're making for nothing. Right? They're all searching for the Prophet sallallahu alayhi salam. And we're going to the Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam. Right? But that also shows that he's the standard bearer, our beloved messenger sallallahu alayhi salam. So think about that. And that's why now, very strange scenario you get amongst Muslims. on the day of judgment, everybody is turning to him. Now, if you say, do it on the earth, you're committing shirk. Look how strange that is, isn't it? On the day of judgment, go to those same people, you're committing shirk, brother. Go to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What would they say to you? Right? So look how strange. These same people, they're saying you should go direct to Allah. Well, go direct on the day of judgment then. Right? So there you go. There's another hawla you can take from this. You don't rely upon your deeds. You rely upon the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And then you ask him to ask on your behalf sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So all I mentioned today was basically a few reports with regards to our beloved Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and huge and most valuable lessons we can take from these reports. Are there any questions you'd like to ask? سبحان الله بحمده سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك اشهد ان لا اله الا انت استغفرك واتوب اليك لا اله الا انت سبحان ربك رب العزه عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين والسلام عليكم من اصل الانسان في خصل الذين امنوا وعملوا الصالحات واصل الحب واصل الصبر سبحان الله